What a Lord today thus far. Been wonderful to be in the Lord's house, folks. We're getting real close to 300 people, so we're going to just scooch up a little closer. We've got some chairs down the center aisle. If you need a place to sit, by all means, you're welcome to come up and join us in the choir. You're welcome to move into one of the aisle seats if you need to do that. We're going to do something just a little bit different. I felt the breath of another country as I just got up here, coming down from the choir. I didn't have the message. I'm going to be honest with you. When I left the house this morning, you said, well, you're the pastor of the church. You're supposed to have the message. Then you obviously don't know how this thing works. But I did not have the message. And then the Lord gave me some scriptures as I was in the Sunday school hour. And I pinned those things down. And I will share those with you. And I'll share you my thoughts. But there's something else that's going to take place. I didn't plan this and didn't know that we were even going to do it. But every time that I would wake up last night, I would wake up with this in my mind. I am the witness of John the Baptist. That's what I woke up to. As was prophesied by the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. When I was but an infant in my mother's womb, my mother being Elizabeth, married to my father Zacharias, I had a chance to meet my dear Savior upon the occurrence of my mother Elizabeth meeting Mary as she was betrothed to Joseph, being conceived of the Holy Ghost. I met my Jesus, and I leaped inside of my mother's womb at that meeting. And it would be full 30 years before my chance meeting again would take place as I was baptizing in the River Jordan. I saw him coming thus yonder brow, and I said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the entire world. I am not that light, but I was sent to bear witness of that light. And in him there is no darkness. See, I am just a forerunner. And I did my part over and over and over in my mind. I did it 26 times down here last night. And you kind of perfected it as the day went on. But as we got toward the latter part of that whole Easter drama, with every scene being unique, and I didn't see it. I didn't get to be here for very many of the practices. Most of you do know that Ryan and myself and Robbie, we lost our mother not even 2 weeks ago. So losing our mother, we missed a lot of the practices, and we missed a lot of the things that were going on. But when I got to my station, I was John the Baptist. If you didn't know, that was John. I was clothed in camel's hair. I had the big bushy bath rug on tonight. I was wearing it all, and I was just kind of wandering around out there because I was the only one in my station. And I was wandering around waiting for the next group of people to come through. I would wander down toward the next station, and then I would see Catherine down there, and then I would go on down, and I saw somebody bust up out of the woods, and I thought, what in the world? Has somebody lost their mind? And I looked, and it was none other than Brother Stephen Church, and he was Judas. And he came up and gave the witness of Judas and how that he had betrayed his master. He said, I'd seen his miracles. I'd watched him perform these great works. And I sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. What have I done? And he runs back off down through the woods carrying the noose that he would go. And the scripture record that he would hang himself. I saw that, and I got to kind of make my round to each different station. But there were two very dramatic scenes. And I'm calling Pilate and Pilate's wife up front right now. We're not going to, come on, Brother Chris, we're just going to recreate something right here because it's going to play right in what God's doing. And then I want you that were a part of the crowd. You don't have to come up here. You do it right where you're at. If you were there, and I know Dane was, I know Melanie was, and I know the multitude of people there, the criers, those that were the town criers that were crying out. And then just as soon as they're done, you're going to see what happens. And then you're going to see some of the most powerful testimony as recorded by the scriptures from two men that as it might have portrayed in the scriptures. And you're going to see that. And then I'm going to go right into what God's got for me to do on the rest of this day. Now listen, this is all unscripted. If somebody misses a line, you don't charge that to them. You charge it to their head and not their heart because they were doing it. Brother Chris was washing his face and washing his feet and washing his hands and washing everything. He's supposed to be washing his hands of the blood of this innocent and just man. But if you mess it up, you mess it up. But just try your best. It's good to have my dad with me and my stepmom with me. And it's good to have you if you're a visitor here. By all means, you make yourself at church today. And let God bless you on this Resurrection Lord's Day. Let Him touch you. If you feel something today that moves you, do something about it. Don't sit there till the end of the service with your heart about to come out of your chest. Do something early. The sooner you get saved, the sooner you can say, bless God, I am saved. Go ahead, Pilate. Listen to this and watch this. Well, do you need them? Would you rather make you more comfortable? Come on, if you were in his scene, come down. Do it quickly.
If you were in the scene with Pilate and over at the judgment, youth choir, you be ready. There's something coming for you just a little bit later. You know the scriptures very well. Brings up the next scene. Brother Tam would be in a centurion's full robe of armament. He would have the keys that would release Barabbas. Listen at this. In the scriptures, go with me to the book of Hebrews this morning in chapter number 13 just for a little while. The 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews records some scriptures, and I want to get to a place where I can show you that Jesus Christ, in all of his earthly stature, but yet in all of his glory, went to an old cross and gave his life that we might have life and have that life more abundantly. My friends, I don't know of a greater song. That's what I'm going to ask the youth choir to sing in just a little while. That song will be entitled, His Life for Mine, because that's exactly what was portrayed and what was taking place as it was recorded in the scriptures. And you just remain seated just for a moment for the reverence of God's Word. Instead of standing, we'll just sit quietly and reverently read this. And the Bible says in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, in verse number 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forevermore. And be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have being occupied therein. Now, I want you to hear this, because this is going to become the text verse of my message on this day. The Bible says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. I just want to bring a message this morning, just as simply entitled, that you can be altered by the altar. And I want you to think about this scripture as we just read it to you. The Bible said that they have an altar, that we have an altar in verse number 10, whereof they have no right to eat thereof. Bless God, brother. Preacher, aren't you glad that we've got an altar? Aren't you glad that the Old Testament patriarchs of old saw the importance of establishing and setting in place an offering and bringing that offering and the sacrifice upon that of the altar? You'll find Moses doing it. You'll find Noah doing it. You'll also find that Abraham, he was known for two things. He was known for digging wells and building altars. And I'm glad, bless God, that we can get the dirt out of the polluted wells of this world. And bless God, we can repair the altar. And bless God, in the front of every church, I don't care if your denomination does not mean Baptist or it's not lined up with the Baptist doctrine, whether you're Pentecostal, Presbyterian, or whatever, bless God, let me tell you, there's an altar somewhere. And bless God, as Brother John Shoemake did, if you don't have you an altar at the front of an old-fashioned church, bless God, make you one in your living room. An altar is just a place, Brother John, where you can be altered. To be altered, Brother Paul, is to be changed. And I'm glad that I've been changed, and it took place in an old-fashioned altar. There's something about going to an old-fashioned altar at the front of some church, Brother Kenny, when the Holy Spirit of God comes in and starts wooing me and drawing me to that place that I can do business with Him. And I just want you to think about a couple things that you find and that takes place at the altar. First and foremost, you can follow with me if you want to. We would have you to turn back over to the book of Romans in chapter number 12. I heard, as I was referring to Brother Greg and Brother Tam and Brother Chris and the other sites, we also had a little church down there. And in the modern church, you had those of the modern church age whose lives had been altered and whose lives had been changed, all because of the living Christ. We saw Brother Danny holding a sign up that said he was in an automobile accident and died five times, or flatlined five times, but God brought him back. I saw my dear wife, and she had a sign up that says she was lost as an 11-year-old girl on her way to hell. But then, Brother Tim, God saved her soul, and now she's a Sunday school teacher, a blessed mama, and married to the pastor of the greatest church in the world. You tell me God can't alter a life. He took you, Troy, and you, Brother Joe, and his that one trip to Calvary and your one trip to the altar, it altered your eternity, bless God. He didn't just give you life now, but to give you eternal life with Him. I mean, what a Savior, Brother Graham. One trip to Calvary changed everything. But to start off with, there's some things that take place at an altar. And the first, when I got you over there, I was telling you about the other little the last station in the little Easter drama. I was Brother Larry Key, and he preached the same message, Brother Key, 26 times, and I heard about 25 of them, and I was listening, and as I was wandering around with my staff, wearing my locust and camel's hair, eating locust and my camel's hair, carrying my pot of honey around, I'd wander out that way, and I'd hear Brother Larry, and he'd say, my brother, and I beseech ye by the mercies of God, and we're right there in chapter number 12 of the book of Romans, in verse number 1, I want you to see what it says. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The first thing that I see whenever looking at that altar, bless God, there's a sacrifice getting ready to take place. It didn't matter if it was Abraham doing it, or Noah doing it, or Moses doing it, or one of the other patriarchs of old. Maybe it was Elijah putting one back together that had been forsaken whenever he was confronting the prophets of Baal and that crowd of Ahab. What did he do? He repaired the altar. And bless God, he went on to soak it with water. That's another message for another day. But bless God, he got the affairs in order and they used the altar. Brother Ryan, there's something that takes place at the altar. There's going to have to be a sacrifice made. Now listen, my friends, we're not looking for the lamb without a spot. We're not looking for the best of our herd. We're not doing that, Brother Woody. Why? Because we need not look for another. That was another witness of John the Baptist. Is that him or do we look for another? Bless God, he was the sacrificial lamb. He was the lamb without a blemish. He was the sacrificial in the substitutionary death for every single one of us. And he did go to that altar. That altar was Calvary. And he was the sacrifice. And bless God, now he's looking for a lively sacrifice, a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto him. Don't bring him filth and expect him to give you his best. Don't you do that. We have no right of an altar. The lost have no right of an altar except that it would be for atonement of sin, for forgiveness of sin. But bless God, Brother John, we have an altar.
Amen.
We have an altar, bless God, that will alter my heart and your life and our families if only we would get into that place of sacrifice. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, I beg you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would just simply present your bodies a living sacrifice. If I were to do it today to show you as an illustration and no more than that, and if this was to be our place, this is where the offertory is given, and we send these things around, we sing the song, and Brother Grant, when we do that, we give our tithes and offerings unto the Lord. But as Brother John, you pointed this out in a message one time, I don't remember Pastor Dean McNeese or who did it, but Brother John brought this out, and he said the best offering that anybody could give is that we would get inside that plate ourselves and give ourselves wholly over to God, because whenever you present your bodies a living sacrifice, what he's going to ask of you then is that you're going to be willing to do what he's called you to do. And that doesn't mean, it doesn't matter if it means preaching the word of God. Troy, it's not always popular when you stand up and start calling sin, sin. Why? Because it's just an alternative lifestyle. It's just a different way of doing things in the modern day. It's just a little different, preacher. It doesn't mean it's sin. Best God, if it meant it was sin back then, it still means it's sin today. Shacking up, still shacking up. Drugs are still devious and they're tearing people's lives apart. And alcohol's still raging. Strong drink is raging. It's all still sin, as is hate, as is emulation and strife and busybodies and gossip and everything else that's sin. It's still sin. But let me tell you, preaching might be what God would have you do, Brother Joe. Years ago, they tell me, and I don't know your testimony, they tell me that you was kind of carved out some rough cloth. And you were the rough hewn log and then finally polished him. He's still working on me, as the little kids would say, to make me what I ought to be. Bless God, it took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But bless God, how loving and how patient that he must be, because he's still working on me. And then bless God, he put a little preach inside of you. And now you get to do that. But there's a high possibility he's not calling you to preach. And if you're a woman, I promise you he's not calling you to preach. Don't take that lie. But anyway, he might be calling somebody to grab the keys from Brother Robbie's shoe. May say, give me the keys to the van. Let me do this. But you'll do that God's got for you to do only when you put yourself in that plate.
Amen.
Only whenever you become a living sacrifice for him. Well, say, how am I going to get to that point of surrender? Which brings up the second point of the message. The first part is sacrifice. Steve, you're going to have to sacrifice. The second part is surrender.
Yes.
Preacher, I just don't know if I can wholly surrender unto that he would fully have me to do. I just don't know if I can do that. You want with that heart. And you want with that attitude. Preacher, I don't know if I can fully. Well, you can't. John Shoemate never could do anything until he put his hand in you.
Amen.
When you become the glove in which he places his hand, bless God, then you can start trumpeting that verse from the rafters of your heart that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
You never could. Can't never could till he tried. Then he found out that he could, and he did. God may be calling somebody to other works. I just recently learned that a pastor friend of mine pastored in Wilkes County for numerous years. Brother Tam, he said, I'll give you pastors after mine own heart. I thought the man would be a pastor for the day he died, because that's where his heart. He said God just sent him a sidebar. He's no longer going to pastor. And I'm not talking about Preacher Kenny sitting up here being pulpit supply and helping. I'm talking about his direction has totally changed, Brother Tam. He said, I'm going to become a church planter, and I'm going to become a missionary pastor on the field to establish a church in yonder a western state. I'll let him tell who it is and what he's doing and when he's going to do it. But that just took me by surprise. Why? Because he's a neighboring pastor. He's a brother that I've learned to love, and I do love him. I love his family. I love his church. But he said, I'm going to become a missionary.
Amen.
I said, praise God.
Amen.
But you know what, Brother John? He's not only sacrificed his life to the ministry of the gospel, but bless God, he's also surrendered to go where God would send him.
Amen.
That would be hard. Got a church of this size, and all of a sudden God says, hey, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to serve here anymore. What I want you to do is I want you to go to yonder place. He going to send me to a town with 200 people in it and tell me to start a church because they ain't a Baptist church in three counties?
No.
Brother, that'd be hard.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be surrendered to do that. You're going to have to be sold out unto God to be able to do that. It's going to take some faith. But if you're sacrificing of yourself as a living sacrifice, you totally surrender to him, you'll be willing to do that. Man, I grabbed Miss Cletha's pen in the Sunday school room. I just started writing stuff down. Miss Cletha, I couldn't write it down fast. It was wanting to come out of my head and heart. I will share just a couple more things. I saw Abraham in the 22nd chapter as he was told to take Isaac. It's all right in here. That sacrifice, that surrender, and the will of God is all portrayed right here in the life of Abraham. He gets the lad. He gets the wood. He saddles up the little ass. And there they go. Where are they going, preacher? Where are they headed? He doesn't know just yet. He said, just go to the place that I will show thee of. He just starts going. He doesn't even know where he's going. You talk about sacrifice, and you talk about being surrendered, not knowing where he's going, but there he goes, and he's got his son. And the greater of that is this, Chris. He knows what he's going to do when he gets there. It wasn't no secret what was about to take place. About halfway up that brow, I believe his heart started to weigh on a little bit. He's starting to trust God more, but he's starting to doubt self even greater. Are you sure about this? God, I'm fully trusting. You said, how can you prove to me that he was trusting? Because he said, y'all stay here. I and the lad are going yonder and we shall return. Brother, he knew they were coming back. He didn't know fully how it was going to happen. But bless God, I believe with every step, his heart was heavy. And every step that he made, he said, God, I'm trusting you. I don't know how it's all going to take place. But even as I don't know, which took me to the next scene where Robbie and Brother Steve Fall was at. That blind man said, I don't know how I got to see again. All I know was I was blind and now I see. That was the trust that Abraham had. One step after another, he gets up there. And he takes, come here, Isaac. You can be Isaac. You are Isaac. Well, that were, how many times do I have Isaac on the front row? I never have. He is Isaac. That's his name. But I can see Isaac. And Abraham says, Isaac, how about unsaddling our colt there? Let's get that wood in order. And you start to do that. And it starts to enter into Isaac's heart and mind. And he says, Father, he said, I got this wood.
Yeah.
He said, I see everything. We've even got the fire. But he looks up and he says, but where's the sacrifice? You remember that story well.
Yeah.
Bless God, where is the sacrifice?
Yeah.
The sacrifice today, Brother Woody, is sitting in the pew, and it's wearing your coat. It's wearing your dress.
Yeah.
The sacrifice, Preston, is me. The sacrifice is you. But the thing is, we are not to that point of surrender just yet. We've got to get there. Where's the sacrifice? We got to go there. I'll just quickly turn over to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Verse number 8 said, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide.
Amen.
Tim, have you always found his provision to be right on time?
Go ahead.
Brother Keith, have you ever found him to fail you? He's never failed me, and he never will fail me. He never will fail you. I have found his promises to always be right on time. Because he said, my God will supply and provide a lamb. He said, not just a lamb, but provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they both went together. And oh, bless God, he gets on down there below it. In verse number 13, the Bible said, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thickest by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram. You said, why wasn't that thing caught by its hind leg? Bless God, if he's going to give it unto God, it can't have a blemish. So what did he do? He held it by the horns, which is another indicator, bless God, that as the high priest priest Abiathar would take those offerings. He would tie them to the horns of the altar. And bless God, those sacrifices were honored unto God. And he blessed because of them. Fast forward some couple thousand years to the scene we just saw. An angry crowd crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" What has he done? "Crucify him! Away with him! What shall we do with this man called Christ? Crucify him!" As it was portrayed by Brother Greg and Tam. Brother, if I'm Barabbas, I'm nervous. You say, "Well, you're not Barabbas." Who was Barabbas? He was a sinner. He was lost. He was condemned to death. He was on his way to hell. See, you said, "Wait a minute, I'm not Barabbas." Bless God, we're all under that same condemnation. We're all sinners. We're all in shackles of sin. But bless God, even as that jailer that was portrayed by Brother Tam come through there, and he takes out them rattling keys and starts fidgeting with the lock, Barabbas' heart has to be about to bust. Then he hears those words, "I come to set you free." That's what happens, Varun. Bless God, he holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And those keys that were rattling, bless God, they took your sin debt. And they took your death warrant that was signed and sealed. And as it's according to the book of Romans in chapter number 6 and 23, bless God, we've got that appointment with death. And there it is, brother. We are sinners headed for hell. Right there it is on the pages of God. He didn't put a period there, did he? What's that scripture say? Somebody quote Romans 6:23 for me. Go ahead, read the whole thing, not just the back part. Go ahead, tell it. The wages, the penalty, the payment of your sin is death. We had that death warrant. And you said, "Yeah, that little Barabbas, he was a terrible guy. He was a sinner. That's all he was. He had a lost... He had a lost countenance about him. He had a lost soul. Everything about him spoke of his sin. Didn't ours, didn't yours, didn't mine. Aren't you glad somebody set us free? The altar is not only a place of sacrifice and total surrender, but it is a place of sure death that I just mentioned. The altar is a place of true blessings, not just in our hearts. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, listen to this in chapter number 17 of the book of Jeremiah. Chapter number 17 of the book of Jeremiah and verse number 9 says these words. 17, I'm trying to find my place. Chapter number 17, the book of Jeremiah and verse number 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Look at the next verse. He said, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Even to give every man according to his way." Folks, our hearts need a blessing. Our hearts are dirty. People say, "Preacher, I heard you're a pretty good guy." Don't believe it for a minute. Don't you believe that the only goodness in me is him. Chris is grinning. He said, I've been wanting to say amen. Our hearts are desperately wicked. Listen, I know me. I know me better than y'all know me. But God knows me better than I know me. I know the thoughts that I have. I know the vileness that runs through my mind. I know that I deal with. I know that I struggle with. I know the propensity to sin that I hold and have. Bless God, if it weren't for grace, Brother John, every one of us, once we were saved, would be smack dab right back in the middle of whatever it was we were delivered from. But I'm thankful for grace. You said, where did all that take place? It took place at the place of blessings, at the altar. Not just an altar in our hearts, but also as it was recorded in the book of Joshua, whenever he made that definitive statement in Joshua chapter number 24. I'll just quote it. 24 and 15 simply says, "If seem evil against you this day," and he goes on, he says, "as for me and my house, though," he said, "we will serve the Lord." Amen. Won't just change your heart, it'll change your home. Not only will it change your home, it'll change your eternity. Now, I'm going to ask Brother Justin to bring his youth choir up. I know it's been a little bit unusual. I don't care. I like unusual. I like life unscripted. I don't like some of the topsy-turvy things that life deals with me sometimes, but guess what? I'm prepared to face them because I have the grace of God to withstand me. Youth choir, come on up if you're a part of that. If you're not a part of the youth choir, do what Brother John's doing. Just kind of slip down or slide to the outsides. Youth choir, fill it in on the middle. I ask you on this Lord's Day that we've set aside the Resurrection Sunday for this one purpose. Do you know Him? Do you know Him in the free pardon, in the forgiveness of sin? The Bible said, consider Him. Consider Him. Consider Him. Which endured, Brother Chris, such contradiction of sinners. That's, Brother John, who is Him? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Him. Have you considered Him? The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who despised the shame. And it was, Brother John, we put a cloth. If you look on this third window up, he's got a loincloth about his midriff. Bless God, Brother John, they stripped him of his raiment. That's for politically correct speaking. You know, we wouldn't want to see it anyway. We couldn't even look upon him, Tam. We wouldn't want to look upon him. The Bible even says that we would have no desire to look upon him. Right. His visage was so marred from the scourging and the beating. We wouldn't desire that. I believe if we saw him taking our stripes, Brother Greg, we'd have to turn away. As they sing this song, His Life for Mine, you stand to your feet. Now, I preached this message just now that you can be altered at an altar. Have you got saved in a church somewhere as you bowed in an altar? Raise your hand. Boy, ain't that a good place? If you, my friends, have never been saved by God's grace, and I were to hand out banners that says preacher, Christian, brother, preacher, deacon, Greg, Varun, if I got to you, could I hand you one that said Barabbas? Maybe it was a two-way banner. Maybe on one side it said Tyler, but on the other side it said Barabbas. Would you have to wear that thing? Would you have to wear it with shame because of the fact that you've never been saved and your life never been altered at an altar? There's blessings at the altar. Brother preacher, can you imagine the blessings if you tried to start writing them down in your 36 years of pastoring? Those cards, the love gifts, the money, the food, the meals, the prayers, all those kind words and stuff that people, can you imagine the blessings that you have received just from being in the ministry? Our Sunday school class this week was about taking care of the very man of God. If you studied it out that way, there's blessings in that, preacher. There's no way you could count them. And you know when it took place? Was you here? Where at? About right there.
Amen.
Ain't that special? Your life was altered at that altar. It was changed. If you alter the course of something, if you alter the course of something, Brother Greg, you change it. If you're in a design building of some kind of a facility and the architect decides that I need to make an alteration in this plan, we need to redo this or redo that. What's he saying? He said, I'm going to make a change. Well, that's what can happen when you go to the altar. He says, you're going this way, straight for a devil's hell. Hard as you can go, that's where you're headed. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to change that for you. I'm going to alter that. Now you're going to go that way. Kids, as you sing this song, His Life for Mine, sing it with your whole hearts. Sing it with passion on this Easter Sunday morning. I know you're not practiced it, and I know it's unscripted. But today, there's somebody back here that's lost. Cortera, honey, you've already sang unto them Amazing Grace. Some of you have already sang specials with a junior choir. This is your time to let Jesus shine in your hearts. Y'all, that if you know it, sing with them. Y'all sing with them on the other side. Paul, Kathy, y'all sing it. If you know it, sing it with them. As Brother Justin leads. My friends, as we get ready to go out of here today, don't leave the way you came in. Please don't leave that way. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Nothing will be changed. Nothing will be altered. But my friends, one trip to Calvary. Brother Keith, was it at Walnut Grove? Think about that day. Mine was at Center Baptist Church, third Thursday in the month of April, 1981, a 13-year-old boy. At an altar, my life was altered. I stand before you now because of that alteration, that change that took place. Isn't that amazing? Miss Cindy over at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, 11-year-old girl, got saved by God's grace. And think about today. Think about that as they sing. I could keep preaching, but as they sing. How about if you need to come, please come as they sing. This is the altar call.
His heart was broken, mine was mended.
Folks, his heart was broken, but mine was mended. Listen. He became sin. Now I'm free. How about it, my friends?
The nails that held him set me free.
I'll listen at this.
His life for mine.
That's what he did.
His life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? Thy son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life.
Wouldn't you like to be saved this morning? Folks, we've got nearly 300 people under this roof today. And nobody's come today for a day of atonement, a day of salvation, a day of forgiveness, a day of grace. How about it? Anybody today that would just like to bow on this old-fashioned altar and have your very life altered for the course of humanity, the course of eternity, the course of history forever to change, all because of what took place. She continues to play very softly. Christians, bow your heads all over the church house this morning. I'm pleading with a lost person this morning. It might even be a lost church member. I beg you with all that's in me, slip out and come up here. Why don't you just slip out and come up here today and let the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ, let the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of promise, come into your heart and life and forever change you. Boy, it'll alter your destiny. It'll alter your eternity. It'll alter your present right now. It'll change you. Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to have to give up. You won't have to give up nothing, bless God. He'll take away that needs to be took away. He'll take away the guilt, the shame, the hurt, the heartache. He'll take away the penalty, the curse that was on you, the brokenness. He'll take all that away from you. He'll do that. Folks, the Bible said, and I'm going back to read it one more time. The Bible says we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. We have an altar. Folks, you have access to an altar today. Why don't you come today? Preacher, don't drag this thing out. We've been up early. We had an early service. We always have two services on Sunday. This is our second one. We're needing a nap. We're tired. We're hungry. We're sleepy. Folks, I'd stay here for the rest of the day if it meant that God was about ready to save somebody's soul from hell. My friends, how about it? Anybody anywhere? Anybody anywhere? Miss Cindy, honey, if you'll come over here and just pray with her. Somebody else that might need to come this morning. There's still some yet that are still praying. I don't know what their hearts are praying about. I'm concerned about this altar call. How about it, somebody today? You've never been saved by God's grace, and you want to be. Why don't you just slip up here? Let this altar become that that changes your destiny. The hardest thing you'll ever do regarding your salvation is step out on faith. That is the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's making that first step. Folks, we've had a good service. At least I felt like it was a good service. I feel even now that the altar call has been adequate and sufficient. But I'm going to tell you, as a man in my heart, the pastor of this church, I still feel like there's somebody needing to move. Folks, this thing is real. It's as real as anything I've ever been involved in. I could go back and tell you stories about how lives crossed and how things happened, and you just look back, you said that had to be God. It just had to be God. There's no other way to explain it. That had to be God. And yet you're going to write it off as some little freakish anomaly that took place here or there, or something, some strange occurrence, some happenstance. My friends, it's God. It's all God. So many times I'll come to you, and I've asked many of you, are you saved? Brother Kenny, if I ask you, Brother Kenny, are you saved? Amen. Yes, he said, amen. Yes, sir. Brother Tam, are you saved? Yes, sir, Pastor. How come it is that whenever I look some of you in the eye, I'm not going to do all of you. Brother Lonnie, you saved? Amen. You saved? You died right now. Where are you going? Going to heaven. Based on what? Amen. Based on the fact that Jesus Christ died for me. How is it then that I come by some of you and I say, are you saved? And you just say, everything's okay. Is everything okay? You'll even bring God down to a level that's not even fit for man. You'll bring him down to that point. Everything's okay between me and the big guy. Brother Gary's a big guy. Brother Chris is a big guy. Brother John, you're a big guy. Don't bring God down to that level. Elijah tried that when he said, let's make three tabernacles here. We'll make one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. Bless God, you just brought Jesus Christ down to the same level as a man. That's not him. He's higher than that.
Amen.
He's much higher than that. So when you say, I'm okay, preacher. Brother, I like what you said. I'm saved. Amen. Yes, preacher. Amen, pastor. I'm saved. Brother, what are you saying? Based on what? Bless God. Blessed on the blessed hope, Jesus Christ. Plus or minus nothing. Greg, are you all right? Saved. Are you just okay? You and the big guy upstairs been talking. You and God. Folks, I'm not coming to all 281 of you or whatever they counted on that paper. But are you saved? You know if you're saved or not. There's no way you can go through life and not know that. I hear people all the time say that, I hope I'm saved. Bless God, the Bible said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that. You can. Bless God, the scriptures support the fact that you can know that you're saved. Does the Bible not say that you can know that you have passed from death unto life? Because you love the brethren. He puts a love in your heart that you never knew was there. How can you stand with a family, brother pastor, that you've never met before? But because of the common oneness of the Holy Spirit, you stand right there and you weep alongside them. Miss Jan, honey, when you lost your daddy, Miss Sterling, honey, when you lost Hover, I believe we all wept. I didn't know I could weep so hard over somebody that had just passed. I didn't really know, Brother Hobart, that you were married to him. It's your daddy, but there I am weeping right along with you. Why? It's that oneness. I loved him, and he loved me. You know why? Because of the common bond of Jesus. It was that oneness of the Holy Spirit that knit us together. The Bible says you can know that you have passed from death unto life. Why? Because you love the brethren. We love each other. Folks, we're all in this thing together.
Yes.
If this thing was the SS Titanic and this thing was going down this morning, I mean, we were sinking hard as we can sink, and everybody in this building was saved. Brother, you know who we ought to push the life rafts to? Don't get in that thing yourself, preacher. You just told me you were saved. I shouldn't be clamoring for a life raft. If I've got 2,000 people on here and we're all going under, I ought to be saying, take mine. Here's my life vest. You grab it. Why do you want me to have your life vest? Why do you want me to get in your lifeboat? Because I'm going to be all right. Bless God, you're not. You're going to perish. Not just in this that's going under, but eternally. Man, my heart's heavy today. My sweet little mama passed away less than 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago this coming Tuesday. This is her first Easter in glory. And I promise you, Brother Tim, upon the authority of God's word, if she was saved, and I believe that she was, I'm the only one in here, as the preacher said earlier, I'm the only one that knows that I'm saved. Brother Chris said he's the only one that knows he's saved. Brother Chris, I'm saved. I know that. You say you know that. But let me tell you, my mama said she was saved. Her testimony backed up the fact that she was saved. And bless God, this is her first Easter there. And you know what she's saying? She's saying, oh, what a Savior. It was real, and I knew that. I trusted in that. But Ryan, do you realize that if you were lost and I was saved, I'd get to see Mama again? But you wouldn't. That's Bible. Because you wouldn't be going where she's at. Would that not be awful? To love somebody so much as your dear precious mom and not even have the hope of seeing them again. Bow your heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for this very service, dear God, for the sunrise service with Brother Chris preaching on that resurrection morning, dear God. I appreciate the way you choreographed this one today, dear God, and how that you moved into our hearts, dear God, to maybe even alter a family here today. Lord, there's a lot of people under the sound of my voice right now, and God, I pray that you'll help them that are not saved, dear God. Would you just give them space and ample time, dear God, to repent of their sins? Lord, you've done your part. Lord, you went to the cross of Calvary. You sent back a Holy Spirit of conviction. You've drawn them. Lord, it's up to them now, God, to come. I trust that you're going to give us a good rest of the Lord's day. Help us as we spend the eternity, dear God, trying to tell others about your precious, precious Son. For the youth choir singing, his life for mine. And everything that's been said and done this morning, God, we'll give you glory, honor, and praise. I ask it in the name of all names, the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, you're